Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
I'm going to read the verse for this morning, 26, and I'm going to go for a number of verses. Tomorrow you can put 32. You put the verse on the board? Do you put the verse on the board? 32.
Tomorrow.
Evam pravratasya sada.
Evam pravratasya sada.
Bhutanam shreyasi dvijaha.
Bhutanam shreyasi dvijaha.
Sarvatmakenapi yada.
Sarvatmakenapi yada.
Natushad dridhayam tataha.
Natushad dridhayam tataha.
Evam pravratasya sada. Bhutanam shreyasi dvijaha.
Bhutanam shreyasi dvijaha.
Sarvatmakena piyada.
Sarvatmakena piyada.
Natushad dridhayam tataha.
Natushad dridhayam tataha.
Evam.
Evam.
Thus. Pravrittasya.
Pravrittasya.
One who is engaged in.
Sada,
always,
bhutanam,
of the living in,
of the living beings,
shreyasi,
in the ultimate good,
dvijaha,
O twice born,
sarvatmakena
api,
by all means,
yada.
When?
When?
Na. Not.
Atushyat.
Atushyat.
Become satisfied.
Hridayam.
Mind.
Tataha.
At that time.
So the translation is, O twice born Brahmana, still his mind was not satisfied, although he engaged himself in working for the total welfare of all people. The context of this discussion is chapter 4 is describing Vyasa's dividing of the Vedas and into the four Vedas and the Puranas and Mahabharata and Vedanta Sutra, and then he's stepping back from the whole work that he's just completed, massive work. And he's searching within himself to see how well he feels this literary task has come out, and he's discovering he's disturbed or not satisfied. There's turmoil in his heart. So this is Sutta explaining this to the sages of Naimisharanya. Purport. Sri Vyasadeva was not satisfied within himself, although he had prepared literatures of Vedic value for the all-around welfare of the general mass of people. It was expected that he would be satisfied by all such activities, but ultimately he was not satisfied. And the theme continues. Next translation. Thus the sage, being dissatisfied at heart, nati prasidad dridhayaha, at once began to reflect, because he knew the essence of religion, and he said within himself, I have, under strict disciplinary vows, unpretentiously worshipped the Vedas, the spiritual master, and the altar of sacrifice. I have also abided by the rulings and have shown the import of disciplic succession through the explanation of Mahabharata, by which even women Shudras and others, friends of the twice born, can see the path of religion. purport reads, the sage began to search out the cause of not being satisfied at heart. Perfection is never attained until one is satisfied at heart. This satisfaction of heart has to be searched out beyond matter, or into the realm of spirit. No one can understand the import of the Vedas without having undergone a strict disciplinary vow and disciplic succession. The Vedas, spiritual masters, and sacrificial fire must be worshipped by the desiring candidate. All these intricacies of Vedic knowledge are systematically presented in the Mahabharata for the understanding of the women class, the laborer class, and the unqualified members of Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya families. In this age, the Mahabharata is more essential than the original Vedas. Text 30. I am feeling incomplete, though I myself am fully equipped with everything required by the Vedas. Purport: undoubtedly, Srila Vyasadeva was complete in all the details of Vedic achievements, purification of the living being submerged in matter is made possible by the prescribed activities in the Vedas. But the ultimate achievement is different. Unless it is attained, the living being, even though fully equipped, cannot be situated in the transcendentally normal stage. Srila Vyasadeva appeared to have lost the clue and therefore felt dissatisfaction. And then he speculates or conjectures. Text 31. This may be because I did not specifically point out the devotional service of the Lord, which is dear both to perfect beings and the infallible Lord. Purport: the dissatisfaction which was being felt by Srila Vyasadeva is expressed herein in his own words. This was felt for the normal condition of the living being in the devotional service of the Lord. Unless one is fixed in the normal condition of service, neither the Lord nor the living being can become fully satisfied. This defect was felt by him when Narada Muni, his spiritual master, reached him. It is described as follows. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Tananjana Salakaya Chakshoda Miritam Dina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Madhavishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Tadati Sva Pradantikam. One of the important themes in the Bhagavatam is this idea of feeling complete satisfaction. So there's a selfless and there's a selfish way of thinking of satisfaction. Thinking of satisfaction, the selfish way is all my wants and desires and ambitions and things all just come into place and are fulfilled. Of course, that's not what people experience. And even if most of those worldly things were falling in place, still the tribulations of the threefold miseries and adhyatmaka, adhidaivaka, and adhibhautaka kleshas, they're there. And birth, death, and disease, and old age, they're there. So even if one's problems are solved and one has what one wants, those things are still obstacles. So, this, in other words, the solution is not a material solution. The solution of satisfaction is not materially achieved. Prabhupada is commenting like that. Now, the Vedas point us to the other side of material existence, to the spiritual realm. And achieving shelter in that spiritual realm, ultimately through loving devotional service. So we're going to hear upcoming that the Vedas, being complete knowledge, it also describes how to achieve temporary things while one is on this progressive path to transcendence. And when Vyasa compiled the Vedas, he put all that knowledge in the Vedas. In fact, the preponderance of information within the Vedas is that worldly portion, the elevation through yajñas and karmakanda performances of duties, how one can achieve those various things. And the compiler of the Vedas, having presented all of that complete information, is not satisfied. So there is this other kind of satisfaction. Going back to the composition of the Bhagavatam is that the essence of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is in the first three chapters. The questions asked by the sages, the attitude of receiving knowledge, the principle of respecting and offering due, opening one's heart to the qualified speaker of that message, and the responses of those six questions. Little neat package. And this fourth chapter is just elucidating. And the rest of the Bhagavatam, in one sense, is expanding on those understandings presented in the first three chapters. The first of the six questions asked by the sages to Sutta is the Vedas themselves are very, very vast, and people of this age are not inclined to go through them all. Their spiritual tendencies are greatly diminished in this age. Besides, they're always troubled by their worldly circumstance. Their minds are always disturbed, their lives are short, they're prone to quarreling, and it's such a disturbing circumstance. Can you just describe for us what's the essence of all of the Vedas in one simple statement? And in that question that's found in chapter 1, the answer comes in chapter 2. Savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksaje ahoituki apratiyata yayatma supracedati. And this word supracedati connects with this fourth chapter. Prasanna means to feel satisfied. Brahmabhuta prasanatma na sochati na kangsati samak sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. When one goes beyond hankering and lamenting, na sochati na kangsati, the dualities of material, the pursuit for material happiness, hankering for what we don't have, not being satisfied with what we do have, and feeling very disturbed and unhappy when temporary things disappear. So when one is relieved from that material duality by finding shelter in searching for the eternal, that person can become situated in devotional service and be satisfied. So, prasanna is spiritual happiness, it's a happiness of the soul. And suprasanna is very, very happy, very inwardly satisfied. Like Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, the happiness in the mode of goodness is felt within. There's a sense of contentedness. And pure goodness is this suprasanna. So that suprasanna position is the position that everybody wants. We want full satisfaction. But, it's always a but, that's not possible by abandoning our relationship with Krishna, going outside of that loving exchange with Krishna and finding it in some temporary situation. It's not going to happen. So even the Vedas provide that information of how to find some temporary happiness, because the Vedas are complete knowledge that includes everything. And so temporary happiness can be pursued in this way, and that way, and that way. The same idea in a shorter version is found in the second canto, beginning of the third chapter. There's descriptions even of worship. One who wants this thing can worship that demigod. One who wants that thing can worship that demigod. And a whole long inventory list of wants and worship and wants and worship and wants and worship. But that simply serves to agitate the mind, even in pursuit of elevation. Of at least the Vedic principle is, rather than being of the spirit or disposition that, hey, I'm just going to go get it. The Vedic culture, Vedic wisdom teaches, one should respect that there are superiors, dispensers of the things of life, the demigods, and one goes to them, and one wants this thing in very proper manner, presents one's request with proper worship, it will easily come. So the idea is then respecting, and for the purpose of Vedic sacrifices, there must be a brahmana, so then there's contact with purified souls. Ultimately, there's respect of the Vedic scripture, which means indirectly respecting of the Supreme Lord Narayan, from whom the Vedic scriptures emanate. And there's a sense of beyond the immediate gratification, there's this principle of elevation through the modes of nature. So therefore, that's part of the Vedic wisdom. It's a gradual process of elevation, even though it means stopover points with hopes for increased material enjoyment, in a nice way, not in a rude and crass way, but with some sophistication, culture, and some goodness. But it's still not satisfying. So, therefore, the Bhagavatam teaches us that the real satisfaction is Vasudeva, the worship of the personality of Godhead. Savai pungsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksaji. Ahoitakiya pratyata yayatma supersedati. Paradharma is the worship of the personality of Godhead, or the service of the Supreme Lord, especially when that service is done without some material prompt or motivation. Ahoitaki. Hetu means cause, and ahetu means without cause. So who does anything without cause? Everybody does something because they want something. What's a causeless action? On the spiritual plane, there is such a thing as causeless action. We don't know of it here. But but it's prompted by a loving relationship, when one isn't wanting something other than that relationship, to act within that relationship, and a gesture of pleasing another is the gesture of love, really selfishly motivated. Ahoy tuki. So there's no material cause in such condition, and there's no material stoppage, there's no material obstacle that can check it, because it's not on this material platform, something that's without material cause or without material obstacle. Then there's this complete satisfaction of the self. So in that second chapter of the Bhagavatam, this word supersedati or atma supersedati, yenatma supersedati, that language is repeated several times like a theme, a refrain, tado rajas tamo bhava kama lobhadayas cheta etair anadvidham yenatma supersedati. Same. When one goes beyond tamas and rajas, by the gradual cultivation of devotional service, then one experiences not just the sigh of relief of no longer being pursued by passion or beaten up by ignorance, like Prabhupada describes the position of shanti or neutrality of relief, like banging your head against a wall, then you stop banging your head against a wall and you feel better. But more than just relief from the modes of nature, but through that goodness that's awakened, being able to experience more directly one's loving relationship with the Supreme, then one can fully experience happiness. But as long as we're being pushed and pulled by passion and ignorance, it's the satisfaction will never be achieved, even if that's pursued through Vedic means. Bhagavatam's teaching is that, in fact, this whole scenario here of the compiler of the Vedas himself, not just one of us, but the person who is the perfect knowing individual, Vyas, he knew it perfectly well, and he's considering, I met all the criterion, all the disciplines for purification of mind and senses, respecting of spiritual masters, that's there. The honoring of this sacred fire, that's there. All that knowledge is the capacity to feel satisfied should be there. But the satisfaction is not there. Why is that? And then he points to that reason. The reason is that, and this is going to continue in the upcoming verses also, but this text 31, because he did not specifically point out or amplify the importance of devotional service to the Supreme Lord, by which both the performer, the abode of the feelings of devotion and the object of devotion and the medium of their relationship will be fully fructified. The individual will not be satisfied until that position is reached. And his assessment is he did not sufficiently explain that. It's there, but not sufficiently highlighted. In fact, a preponderance of information is there that then distracts the mind of worldly people who want material enjoyment, and they get sanctified material enjoyment and they're happy or trying to be happy but not satisfied. And we all know what that feeling is, that pinch in the heart, something's missing feeling. And The message of the Bhagavatam is to satisfy that feeling. Therefore, this refrain, supersedati, yenatma, supersedati. The soul can be satisfied. So therefore, the message of the Bhagavatam, the stepping back, the whole big picture of the Bhagavatam is to teach pure devotional service, unmixed with fruitive intentions for gaining something in a temporary realm, or from trying to understand reality or the truth or ourselves or God by speculative method. These two need to be put to rest. And in its place, unflinching devotional service. As long as there's some expectation for material happiness on the part of the soul, this very nice verse in Prahlad's prayers to Lord Nrisingadeva, like it very much. He says that it just, that expectation for happiness, it's connected to a bodily conception of life, and as long as one has those two things, then the Supreme Lord becomes obscured. That person can do nothing from themselves, and others can do nothing to help them. It's a very unfortunate condition. There is something that can be done, and that the Bhagavatam is providing that remedy. That is, addressing the real problem, the root of the problem. The root of the problem is this acceptance or failure to accept the position of being the eternal servant of the Personality of Godhead, and our whole program in life, all the teachings of the scriptures are to help us come to that position. Unflinching. Ananyas chintayan tomam yejana paryut pasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshema vahamyaham. Krishna's teaching is the mind should come, all the things of the Vedas are to help us come to that position where the mind is fixed on Krishna. Rupa Goswami teaches us this. All the principles of the do's and the don'ts of devotional service are to achieve one thing: always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. And this world, which is filled with duality, gives us plenty of opportunity to practice that one. Plenty of opportunity. Sometimes tribulation, sometimes success, sometimes happiness, sometimes distress, sometimes things are going very well, sometimes things are going very badly. And sometimes it may seem like nothing's happening. And we have lots of opportunity to rise above duality and stay in all circumstances fixed upon the Supreme. That method of staying fixed upon the Supreme is derived from the hearing and chanting process, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. And so Prahlad prays, may I always have the association of your unalloyed devotees. Because what are your unalloyed devotees doing? They're always speaking about you and your glories and your wonderful activities and your name and your fame and your transcendental form. And immersed in that sound vibration, I'll always be remembering you. Of course, Prahlad is known for achieving perfection by that remembrance, but he knows the method. Always remembering Krishna becomes possible by sound vibrations connected to Krishna. And when that sound vibration connected to Krishna is just filling your consciousness, the dualities can be addressed from a transcendental position of remembrance of Krishna. And in a responsible manner, Prabhupada describes like this, we take actions that are dutiful, but we're not counting on those dutiful things being the solution to the problems or the means for happiness. We're counting on Krishna. We're doing things in a responsible, thoughtful, careful, following the teachings of the scriptures way. But our trust is with Krishna. And ultimately, He's our source of protection. He's our shelter. And there's trust in that. And then one can stay fixed. Then whatever happens, one is fixed. Once again, we have plenty of opportunity to practice that. Even sitting here, you know, there's this tribulation, there's that tribulation. It goes on, because we're in this place that we're not meant to be in. And it's by nature problematic. By nature it's problematic. And the lesson isn't just, I quit, I'm getting out of here. Because you can't get out of here that way. It's just, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. That's our method. The prescription is engaging in fixed devotional service, that whatever it is that we do, Krishna should be pleased by this. That's the standard. And if Krishna is pleased, then His protection will be there. His satisfaction will be there. My satisfaction will be there. If I know that Krishna is pleased. So there are standard ways we try to assess if Krishna is pleased. But the Bhagavatam certainly gives us the mandate to do so, and the association of saintly persons helps guide us to the right path of doing so. The Bhagavatam is to awaken that desire, ultimate desire of satisfying Krishna. And Krishna will then provide us with the intelligence how we can reach Him. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upiyantite. And I'm sure everybody here shares the wish, let us go to Krishna as quickly and directly as possible. This Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would say, this place is no place for a gentleman. Once you do one's business, like an outhouse, you do your business and you get out. Don't linger. Don't make it a nice outhouse. Do your business and return to Krishna. Of course, one can, while in this situation, not only think about one's own returning to Krishna, but make arrangements, tasteful, thoughtful arrangements, so that as many persons will feel invited also and can take part. Therefore, we have this Sankirtan process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where many, many persons, as many as possible, are invited to seriously take up this method. Of course, that not only the inviting takes some extra effort, then once an invited person is so invited to provide further training in the techniques of spiritual science, that also requires some special effort. When Krishna sees that special effort, just like our discussion about silent chanting or aloud chanting, when you're doing something that's in a genuine act of compassion under the order of higher authority, extending some compassion, Krishna gives special protection, or He's especially pleased by that effort. And therefore, that's what our society is that Prabhupada gave us. To do two things. Apply this process in our life as carefully as possible and extend it to others. By so doing, we'll benefit others and benefit ourselves simultaneously.
and by that Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any discussion? Questions? You two had some good, really good questions yesterday. Okay.
About chanting.
Yeah.
When we require, not require, what is the recommended way? I see everyone using beads to chant. Why is that?
Why do we use beads? There's many reasons. It's from the science of chanting, the engaging of their senses, like you were describing yesterday, incense by the sense of smell, the deity, the sense of sight. The sense of touch is also engaged. The sense of hearing, the sense of vibrating. All five senses then become engaged, and specifically the beads, mala, is Tulsi. And Tulsi is sacred. Tulsi is a pure devotee of Krishna. So by contacting Tulsi, it's auspicious, and practically speaking, just by from so much practice, by touching the Tulsi beads, that all those hours and years of chanting just flood the mind, just from that contact with beads. And another reason is that it assists in counting, numerical. There's a common practice that one will take a vow to chant a certain number of names, that rata is automatically, I don't have to separately be thinking, okay, how many, is taken care of automatically just by mala. Finish these many names now, those many names. It's not mandatory. It's not like you'll get no benefit if you don't. But it's helpful. We take all the help we can get. So there's japa, which is soft chanting, and we mentioned this yesterday, and the kirtan, which you have seen, loud chanting, utkirtan. And the soft chanting is done with beads, traditionally. And there's a reason behind the tradition. When we take initiation vows, we vow to chant a certain number of mantras or rounds of chanting the holy name. But it's automatically taken care of by this. Okay. Yeah.
Why should there be a fixed number?
It's not mandatory, but it's a discipline. Because something that I understood when I was a kid, if there's something that's good, you should do it regularly. Whatever that something, if it's good, don't just from time to time, but in a regular manner. So in spiritual discipline, it's in a regular manner. And how do you keep track of that regular manner? Some numerical. And numerical isn't everything. It's qualitative. But it's also part of discipline, that supposing that sometimes my attention may be very, very strong. Sometimes it may be very disturbed, difficult. But I'll continue anyway, because I know it's good for me. And so the numerical is there. I'm making a commitment to Krishna and to my spiritual master. With discipline, I'll complete this. And it's not, minimally it's numerical, and ideally it's qualitative. But the miracle helps me get to that qualitative also. It's the commitment that really helps. Okay? Something? No? Yeah?
I was wondering that since Bhagavad Gita is part of Mahabharata, like Vyasa is saying, he's already completed that, and that the theme of Bhakti Yoga is so prevalent there. Just as you were saying, because the accenting, the showing of how it actually is performed by relating so many activities of the devotee and their relationship with Krishna, that then by this personal expansion, then you can understand what the concept of Bhakti Yoga is, that what Srimad Bhagavatam is for. Versus getting that understanding of Bhakti Yoga from Bhagavad Gita itself.
I'm not sure exactly what you just said. Could you try again? I'll just say, maybe respond this way. Prabhupada has described the relationship between Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita as Bhagavatam is the graduate study, and Bhagavad Gita is the undergraduate study, or the ABC. So the Srimad Bhagavatam highlights in such an... We find that there are commentaries on Bhagavad Gita that render Bhagavad Gita in a wrong way. It's much more difficult to do that with Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is exclusive. It's not that Bhagavad Gita is unclear, but interpreters manage to wrangle some meaning that's not the direct meaning. And they haven't touched the Bhagavatam for it because of its emphasis, its strong emphasis. Clear, clear, clear. Not that Bhagavad Gita is unclear, but more clear. In such detail, it's taking the message of Bhagavad Gita and amplifying the pure devotional service message. Bhima, you want to comment, add anything? Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.